Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." We continue in the Gospel of Luke, and as we continue in the Gospel of Luke, we are mindful that Luke's gospel is that gospel with lots of different themes. We're mindful it's got the theme of prayer, the theme of the Holy Spirit, the theme of women, the theme of the universality of salvation. And we're going to hear that theme in today's passage, that Jesus does not come into the world just for the Jewish people, but he comes into the world to save all people. We are also mindful that one of Luke's major themes is this theme of journey, because we have a little subtext, Luke's gospel, on the road again, because it's all about being on a journey. Now, we're in this part of Luke's gospel that we have named the journey narrative. And during this journey narrative, Luke is teaching his community what it means to be a disciple, how what we would say to be an intentional disciple. It's one thing to say, "Oh yeah, I'm a disciple of Jesus," and it doesn't mean anything because you don't intentionally do anything. You just like say it, and it supposedly is, but it's not. So we've heard in this journey narrative different things. We heard that we need to travel lightly on the journey, and eventually we all learn that we have to get everything into a 9x12 room. But we all have to, we have to journey lightly through life. We heard about one of Luke's themes of prayer, and we heard about Martha and Mary as these two metaphors for the prayer life. We heard about that on the journey, we disciples need to reach out and help those who are in need in what we have named the Good Samaritan story. But also the flip side of that story is as we journey, we need to accept the healing power of Christ in our life. We then heard about we must live in this sense of urgency. We must always be ready, for we know not when the thief will break into the house. And then last week, as we continued on this journey, we heard this very passionate speech of Luke put on Jesus' lips. We heard this passionate speech saying that, "How I wish the world were ablaze. I have come to set the world on fire." And we know for Luke that that fire is symbolic of being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so this whole week, hopefully we've been on fire. I don't know, you look a little ashen, Ringo. Burning it up, right? We have to have passion. And that's really to be on fire. And we heard last week that when you're on fire for the gospel message, it's not going to make everybody happy, right? Okay, so we know that Jesus did come to bring peace in the world, but last week we heard that when you follow his gospel and others don't follow the gospel, there's going to be dissension because... And this is what Luke's community was experiencing. We have to remember that, you know, this is a new way of being. It's a new way of seeing. It's a new way. It's going against whatever your family did before. You're now doing something different. And if your family isn't doing what you're doing, which is different, there's going to be dissension, you think? Yeah, we know it. There's still dissension. The dissension exists in our own church. When you live the gospel message, it creates dissension for some. Okay, so now we hear in today's gospel that Jesus continues on the road to Jerusalem, continues on this journey, and as he continues on this journey, there is someone in the crowd. Now, as he's journeying along, I am sure, you know, we understand that some people are getting it, and some people aren't getting it. And so we hear this voice from one of the crowd saying, "Well, Jesus, are there really only going to be a few who are saved?" Right? Only a few. Who's going to be in? Who's going to be out? And I love Jesus' response. For his response is rather simple. Mind your own business. Mind your own business. We don't like that. If you know me at all, you know I annoyingly to some, I latch onto phrases that I'm not very original. So most of you who know me, I have a habit of saying, you know, just saying. Just saying. In fact, Wayne bought me a thing off of my desk that says, just saying. And I want to put that on the pulpit. Just saying. And I have another favorite saying, which is, it's all good. It's all good. And Gary, he goes to another mass, "Father Bill, it is not all good." I said, "It's all good until it isn't, but it is what it is, and it's all good, because God made it, and if God made it, it's all good." We don't see it. Even we heard in that reading about discipline. When you're experiencing discipline, it doesn't feel so good, but it's all good. And so we have that. Well, I have another saying that goes along with today's gospel. It's rather simple. It's not my monkey, not my circus. Because it's my way of saying, mind your own business. Mind your own business. But we don't like to mind our own business. We'd rather worry about everybody else's business. Because, I don't know, it just seems to be easier. We want to say, I'm in, you're out, who's in, who's... That's the problem of religion, is who's in and who's out. And we like to make you out and you in. And we seem... Nothing new. It seems as though that was an issue back in Luke's time, where he's saying, you know what, mind your own business. You strive to enter the narrow gate. Don't worry about her. You worry about you. But we tend to want to worry about everybody else. I just love so many times, you know, the church police, I call them. They love to worry about everybody else. You know, Father Phil, I don't think they're married in the church. I don't think they should be going to communion. I'm like, it's not your monkey, not your circus. Don't you be worrying about everybody else. You strive for the narrow gate. It's just today someone told me that a friend of theirs from Prince of Peace told them, oh, you know, you're not supposed to go to communion because, you know, you're not Catholic. I said, just tell her, not your monkey, not your circus. No one assigned you to be the defender of the faith. You don't need to worry about anybody else. We all need to worry about ourselves, because we hear in Luke's gospel today about the universality of salvation, that it's from the east to the east, east to the west, from the north to the south. God's salvation is God's business, not your business. Now, today in this gospel story, we also hear that Jesus tells this little story, and, you know, he uses this image. Once the door is locked, you're going to be knocking on the door saying, let me in, let me in. And Jesus is going to say, or the king in the story is going to say, I don't know you. I don't know where you're from. I don't know where you're coming from. Yeah, well, you taught in our streets. You ate with us at our table. What do you mean you don't know us? What, do you got dementia? Of course you know us. You've been there. You've been in our streets. You've been at our table. We've broken bread. We've shared a meal. Sounds familiar? We've broken bread. We shared a meal. You taught in our streets. What do you mean you don't know us? I don't know where you're coming from. Because you see, it's not just sharing in a meal. It's not just having him teach in our streets. It's about embodying the message. It's about embracing the message. And I sometimes get it because, you know, just yesterday, I was having a conversation with one of our parishioners. And somehow or another, we got on the topic of refugees. And she said to me, you know, she said, oh, we should not take care of refugees. And I'm like, huh? Do you come to Our Lady of Lourdes? Do you listen? Does the gospel penetrate at all? I don't know where you're coming from. Well, there's just not enough. We need to take care of us. Only us. Because there's not enough for us. We can't even take care of our own. I'm like, what gospel are you reading that has the illusion that there's an us and a them? Because as long as you think that there's an us and a them, then you're not hearing Luke's gospel at all. Because, or any gospel for that matter, because the entire gospels are about there's no us and them, unless Jose, he's one of them. But no, I love to pick on Jose. There's no us and them. And to say, well, we don't not enough for us. I'm like, really? Seriously? You know, I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know where you're from. Because if you listen to the gospel message, it's rather clear. Jesus comes for all of us and saves all of us. And they can't start thinking in these human terms of these human creations about there being an us and a them, because there is no us and them, folks. And so he says, you know what? You don't get it. And we're not going to open the door for you because you don't get it. And you're going to see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the saints and the prophets. The prophets, that's a good clue. The prophets, and they're going to be at the eternal banquet, eternally eating this meal, and you're going to find yourself left out. And then you will be grinding and gnashing your teeth because you may have heard the message, you have shared the meal, but you did not embrace that in your heart and in your lives. Today, Luke, I think, reminds his disciples as reminding us that we tend to have the problem still, you know, of saying who's in and who's out. My favorite one is, you know, when you meet people who don't go to church, they say, oh, I don't go to church because they're all hypocrites there. I'm like, uh-huh. Absolutely. If you think, you know, we are all living the message that we proclaim perfectly, have I got news for you? We got a ways to go. And so it certainly is easy to say, oh my, you know, I'm not going because they're all, I'm like, well, you know what? Church is not a museum for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. Yeah. And that's the reality. And, you know, we don't want to say, oh, that Sheldon, he thinks he's Christian. Did you see the way he drives? But I do love the way he reads. You should read the Bible, like, on tape or something. Wasn't it gorgeous the way he read? Just like, yeah. I was like, oh, let's make him record the Bible. He can read it to me at night. It was a very good job. Anyway, so, but it's so easy to point fingers at people. Today, Luke reminds his community, reminds us that we are to strive for the narrow way. The narrow way being the mission of Jesus, which in Luke's gospel is, we know, to bring glad tidings to the poor, liberty to captives, let the oppressed go free, sight to the blind, and a year of favor from the Lord. So if we're going to conform ourselves, then we must share in that mission. We must strive to share in that mission and not worry about anybody else's monkeys or circus. Amen.